What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 68. And full transparency, today's podcast was supposed to be on the keto diet and all the benefits of that and how it works for fat loss and stuff like that. But me and Tom got to talking about the Game Changers movie, which is a vegan movie right now on Netflix. So we decided to spin that to its own podcast because the conversation went like 45 minutes or so. So feel free to listen to that and take what you will from it. And next week, we'll touch on keto and break that down and why it's a great diet and everything like that. So enjoy, and here it is. Instead of doing a little check-in like we normally do this week, Tom's been doing a deep dive on the Game Changers movie, like the vegan propaganda film. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so Game Changers came out. It's on Netflix. It's a vegan propaganda. I'm not going to call it a documentary because documentaries are supposed to use facts, and this is playing very loosely with that word.
You know what I call it? I call it a docudrama.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
It's a drama disguised as a documentary.
Well, because even some of the like the footage in there are like reenactments. So like a document is supposed to be like all live, real footage. And they have people reenacting stuff to, and then like showing it. So you're acting. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it a document.
Yeah, documentary.
Yeah. So whatever. Let's just kind of just talk about some of the points.
Yeah.
We're going to try and keep this as short as possible, but I really don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, we didn't want to make a whole podcast just on this because reading about this dumb shit like melts my brain. You know what I mean? Like it really does. So we're trying to make it short.
And there are so many people that have already put together like crazy rebuttals. Chris Kresser, who we've talked about many times, who went on Joe Rogan, he had a 3-hour like rebuttal, and they didn't even talk about everything that they wanted to. They had to cut a lot of stuff out of it. And so I was like, okay, well, there's 3 hours. Paul Saladino, another guy that we both like, he did a 2-hour rebuttal against it. The movie's not even 2 hours long. So, like, these people's rebuttals are twice as long, or longer than the movie, and then some. So, it's just kind of crazy how many rebuttals are out there. Your favorite guy, Bio Lane's out there, has one.
Yeah, he has one out there, too. I know. Yeah. I have a love-hate relationship with that guy.
All right. So, the first one let's talk about are gladiators were mostly plant-based. So, whether that's true or not, gladiators aren't professional athletes. They're basically prisoners. They're prisoners of war. Their job is to die for entertainment. So they weren't getting, like, prime food. Like, we don't feed our prisoners prime food. They get barely human-grade food.
Yes.
Probably dog food is probably about the same grade as, like, the what we're feeding prisoners.
100%.
Yeah. So using that as an example is a very, very poor choice. Also, slaves, or maybe not slaves, gladiators, what's their job? Their job is to fight with swords for entertainment. So if you get cut, you don't really want to bleed a lot, because if you get cut and bleed, you're going to die. So fat isn't very vascular. So it's a benefit to be fat as a gladiator. Like if you think of like a bodybuilder who's just super lean, all his veins are popping out, man, a paper cut and that fool's going to bleed out in like 2 minutes.
100%.
So like you don't want to be lean and vascular. You want to have a good chunk of fat. So that is just complete nonsense saying that gladiators being plant-based is a benefit. So all athletes should be plant-based. Makes no sense at all. And if you actually look at, like, the first professional athletes, the Greek Olympians, they were awarded, like, full animals, like, prime cuts of meat. They were getting the best of the best meat sources. They valued meat. The real professional athletes that we try to, like, live up to today were getting the best meat. So saying that athletes should be plant-based based off of gladiators makes no sense whatsoever.
No. Yeah, and it definitely shouldn't be a point for, like, a pro. It should be a con, honestly, saying why you shouldn't do that diet because they fed it to slaves, pretty much. But
yeah, like, I mean, I'm not... If I have... the life expectancy is going to be weeks, maybe years at best. Yeah, I'm not giving you the best cuts of meat.
Definitely not.
Especially when that stuff is scarce, you know? Like, there's not enough of, like, the prime meat to go around. So why would you be giving it to the people that you value the least in the world?
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had another claim about cloudy blood. And I'll be perfectly honest, I never even watched this movie. I got, it's on Netflix. Pretty much everyone in the world has Netflix nowadays. There's, like, Netflix has a thing where you scroll over a movie and it starts, like, the automatic preview.
Yeah.
And did it happen to you?
No.
Okay, so it always comes up, like, the first thing every time I go on Netflix. And the first preview is Arnold talking, right? Okay. And Arnold goes, yeah, I used to eat all this meat. I ate 250 grams of protein a day. And, like, it triggered me so much. I was like, next. Like, I literally watched 5 seconds of the movie.
Man, why do you have to bring up Arnold?
Like, I know, it's so disappointing.
Yeah, I've, like, idolized that man so much as a kid. Like, he's one person, you know, I said, like, you should never meet your heroes. Yeah. He's one person I never want to meet.
Me either.
Like, I don't even want to watch this documentary because of that. Like, I want to just think of him as, like, in Predator or, like, Commando, like, one of those movies. Yeah. I don't want to think of him as this.
I know. No, he sold out, like, heavy. Him and James Cameron are buddies, and I go into the financial interest of Game Changers, and it's a Q&A episode. I think it's episode 49. But just go back and look through the histories, the Q&A, and you can learn more about, like, the financial interest in this movie. But Arnold's making money off this movie, pretty much, and I guess he sold his soul at this point. You know, when you have $100 million, I guess you won $150, you know?
Joe Rogan was talking about this in their rebuttal, is they just made a movie together, James Cameron and Arnold. They just made another Terminator movie. So do you think that played any role?
Oh, for sure it did.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, can you help me out? Like, you know, I did make your career.
Yeah.
Like, James Cameron did basically create Arnold Schwarzenegger 100%. As an action hero.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, kind of does owe him one. And saying James Cameron has a financial interest in, like, a pea protein company, I think he invested $140 million, somewhere around there. So, like, an investment, you could think of, oh, hey, maybe $10,000, $100,000, something like that. No, $140 million. That is not an investment. Like,
that's not an investment.
I mean, like, he is fully committed to this.
Yeah, and his wife's vegan.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, he's... Talk about... What is that term? Conflict of interest?
Yeah.
He screams that shit, you know?
But, I mean, it also does make sense. Like, hey, if you believe this, you're going to back your beliefs with your money. And you're going to try to create... To convince others to believe what you believe.
Yeah.
And if this was basically just a movie about, hey, here are some vegan athletes... You don't need to eat meat to be a professional athlete. That's one thing. If you want to do that, hey, do your thing. To each their own.
Yeah.
But to say that that's the most optimal diet for athletes is just complete nonsense.
Complete nonsense, yeah. So, yeah, to go back to the cloudy blood. So, this works for, like, honestly, for the layman out there, for the person who doesn't know shit because it's visual. I can show you this file. It's nice and clear. Hey, this person eats plants, they have clear blood, and I can show you this file and say it's fatty after this person eats some meat and some other, like, meals with it or some other food with it, and it works, right? Like, oh, that's not supposed to be cloudy.
So is that what they do when, like, you go to a hospital and you get a blood test? Like, I don't know what they actually do with the blood, but they just, like, shake it up and just look at it.
Definitely.
Oh, this guy's
not
cloudy, this guy's fucked. Or, oh, hey, this is clear, this guy's healthy.
Go home. On his way. Yeah, go home. You're gonna live forever. Yeah. So really what that is, that's a result from a high carb and a high fat meal, which is a bad combo. We've talked about that previous times. You really want to separate those two out. You don't want to have carbs and fats on your same meal. But triglycerides, which are just the fat you're going to get from the food, are elevated post-meal. And that's because the carbs in the meal displace beta oxidation, which is just the burning of fat. So it results in elevated fat post-meal. And that's the only thing that's going on there. That's not a particularly harmful thing, but it's just something that happens if you're going to eat carbs and fats in the same meal. It's just, it's normal, you know?
Yeah, so what they were doing for this experiment, if you even want to call it that, because it's not very scientific at all, they fed the, I don't know, whatever, the participants, I'm trying to think of the right word.
Yeah.
Either a steak burrito or a vegetarian burrito. And that was it.
Yeah.
All right, really scientific. I mean, because, like, a shit ton of carbs and steak together is going to be a bad combination. Like, we agree with that.
We do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a hamburger with the bun, not a good idea. Hamburger without the bun, great idea.
Yeah, but again, don't blame the hamburger like they're doing. You blame the bun, because that's what's actually causing the problem.
Yeah, or in this case, the tortilla.
Or the tortilla, yeah, exactly.
Like, that's what it is.
That's what it is. So again, it's misinformation, it's half-truths, and that's what that whole movie is based on, is a bunch of half-truths. So they also have another claim that talks about lions being carnivores, and that we shouldn't eat meat because we're not lions. We have longer GI tracts, but that's just...
Isn't that just straight not true?
Straight not true at all. We do have a little bit of a longer GI tract than a lion, but not much. And it damn near, from a structural standpoint, it's identical. And we have a whole podcast, actually, called Facultative Carnivore with Travis Statham. It's
That's a two-parter, by the way.
It's a two-parter. Yeah, yeah, I think it's podcast 31 and 32. And it's multiple hours of all the evidence of why humans are facultative carnivores. So... if you want to obviously listen about that, you should check those out. But like I said, we have like damn near the exact GI tract to a carnivore. Like if you go look up a dog or a wolf, we look exactly the same from like our mouth all the way through our gut. And like we have one stomach, one very acidic stomach. Herbivores, things that are designed to eat plants, usually have four stomachs, like a cow. And we have very short colons, and we have limited capacity to ferment things, which is actually what cows do. You know, they ferment this material, the cellulose, and they create fat from that. We can't do that as humans, or not very efficiently. So this whole claim they had is just honestly not true. Like, yeah. It's just a bunch of lies.
Yeah, and if you don't have any understanding, like, yeah, you can...
yeah, you just believe it.
Believe it.
Yeah.
Another thing with that is, like, they try to make the comparison, like, you can be as strong as an ox, like, you don't need to eat meat. Well, that'd be okay. Like, yeah,
if you were an ox,
if we had four stomachs and like we could get everything from our gut bacteria from it. But hey, if you go and eat grass all day, you will die. Like, you're not going to survive very long. So you cannot eat like an ox.
You cannot eat like an ox. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's just completely idiotic. And also, you'd have to eat about, I don't know, 14 to 20 hours out of the day. Like, pretty much if you're awake, you are eating. Like, that's what you would have to do to be able to get enough nutrients to build, like, enough muscle to be as strong as an ox eating that type of diet.
Yeah.
Like, that's what gorillas do. Gorillas are eating 14 hours a day. I think they're eating close to, like, 40 pounds of food a day.
Yeah, just to get enough energy to live.
You eat a lot. You eat more than twice, like, anybody else I know.
Yeah.
What's your record? Like, 6 pounds?
Oh, no, close to... it's close to 8 or 10, something like that. It's a lot. Yeah.
Nowhere near 40.
Nowhere near 40, yeah. I'm actually dumb full right now, by the way. I just ate. I'm, like, having a hard time breathing, but... that's a different story. But so they have another claim as well, saying plant-based diets are better because of the antioxidants in plants. And this is just from a top level. People love that shit. They love to see things that are colorful and the antioxidants in them, and they think they're beneficial towards us. But honestly, we don't absorb antioxidants in plants very well, if at all. So something Paul Saladino says a lot is that we have a different operating system. So we're like Macs and these plants are like PCs. So these antioxidants don't really interface with us very well. It's just not efficient at all. And so we produce our own antioxidants, like glutathione is a master antioxidant. And the antioxidants we do absorb, like glutathione, are in animal products. So we get those great antioxidants from meat, from eggs, from cheese, stuff like that. We don't get those type of antioxidants from plants because they just don't contain them.
Yeah, so like the extra production of antioxidants that we do get after we eat plants is because like those plants are like stress on our body.
Yeah, it's like a mini poison.
Yeah, so our way of dealing with that stress is we create these antioxidants. So is it beneficial? There is a lot of debate going on about that right at the moment. Yeah. You have Rhonda Patrick on one side.
Loves it.
Loves plants for this reason. And then you have Saladino on the other side saying, hey, this is probably not a good idea.
Like, there's other ways to do it.
Yeah. Like cold therapy, like we talked about not that long ago, does the same thing.
Yeah.
Without introducing harmful stuff to your body.
Exactly. And I'm definitely more on the Paul Saladino camp when it comes to that. Yeah. Obviously, I don't eat any plants, so.
Yeah, I mean, so there's some nuance there. I believe, or actually, I shouldn't say that. I know Saladino wants to have a debate with Rhonda Patrick. I don't know if that's ever going to happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is she not down for it?
I mean, I don't know. I don't listen to her side, so I don't.
Not anymore, at least.
Yeah. And I also know Saladino wants to have a debate with Chris Kresser, who's like, Kresser is very strongly omnivore. I mean, he came from vegan, so I kind of get where he's coming from. His whole life was plant-based, so it's probably going to be take a lot for him to go carnivore.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, Chris Kresser, he's very knowledgeable. He's a nice guy, but he's honestly too soft for my liking.
Well, he's not fully in our camp. He's in the whole just real food and you'll be okay for most people.
Mm-hmm. And he's not wrong. You know what I'm saying? But I just think there are ways to optimize it.
Yeah. Oh, and he definitely admits that, like, if you do have an autoimmune issue, like, you should go carnivore. Like, he's not against carnivore.
Yeah.
His kind of point on it is, it's kind of hard. Well, I mean, this is true for a vegan diet. If you go vegan, it's really hard to do that right. Like, there are ways to do it right. I mean, you need some supplementation. You need to be making sure you're balancing grains with veggies, with, like, legumes. Like, you need to make sure everything's balanced right, like, proportionate out. And, like, definitely you need to be checking your stuff because it's easy for deficiencies to pop up. But, I mean, you can kind of say the same for a carnivore diet if you're doing it wrong. Like, if you're just doing hot dogs or, like, some Spam, like, you're probably going to have some sort of issues popping up.
Eventually, yeah.
But if you're doing, like, the right way, like, the way we do it, the way Saladino recommends, you're eating nose to tail, you're eating those bone broth, you're either doing bone broth or, like, bone meal, you're doing a lot of, like, connective tissue, skin, ligaments, tendons.
Organs.
Yeah, you're doing the organ meats, you're doing all that, then you're fine.
Yeah.
It kind of just depends on where you want to go. But, yeah, you definitely need some sort of meat. Like, meat's not just protein. It's a multivitamin. It's your essential fatty acid supplement. It's
a superfood.
Yeah, it's got all the minerals. It's got more potassium than a banana. Like, I mean, you're just... If you just eat a lot of fatty meat, like, you're good. You don't really need to eat anything else.
You don't. And I'm a testament to that. Yeah.
All right, so the strongman, Patrick... I don't know his last name. It's kind of hard to pronounce. But that, the strongman that they mentioned in the Game Changers.
And let's say strongman in quotes, by the way. He's like half strong.
So he's strong for his size. Like, I'll give him that. But
yeah, he's not that big of a guy.
He's not very big. I think he's like 5'6", 5'8", somewhere around there. So when I think of strongman, I'm thinking it was on like ESPN2 back in the day where you got these like 6'8", 400-pound guys. They have like a Volkswagen Bug on their shoulders and they're just walking to see who can carry it the farthest.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, here's this cut down tree, flip it over, and then there's a bigger one next to it.
And flip that one.
Yeah. Or like, hey, who can pick up these 8 gigantic boulders the fastest?
Yep.
Like, you know, the that's what I'm thinking of.
The World's Strongest Man competition. Like,
those crazy competitions. So yeah, he's not even close to being one of those type of people, even though like they promote him as that.
Yeah,
like the mountain that was on Game of Thrones. I don't know the guy's real name. Do you?
It's Hathor Bjornsson.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's like, that's Viking, so that's me like butchering his name, but yeah.
So he is like, if you think strongman, that's a strongman.
Yeah, close to 7 feet, 400 pounds.
Doesn't he have like the deadlift record?
Eddie Hall has a deadlift record,
okay.
But it's 500 kilos.
Okay.
Which is stupid.
I've seen this guy deadlift 1,000 pounds.
Yes, he has.
Like, the bars look like they're just, like, holding on by a thread.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, I did not know metal could bend like that.
With weights all the way to the end of the bar. It's very impressive.
Yeah, I'm fearing for his life. I'm like, that bar is going to snap and just, like...
Go through his chin.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, yeah, that's what I think of as a strongman. He's, like, 6'8". He's got to be over 400 pounds. And then most of that's muscle. So, could somebody that size eat, like, a plant-based diet and get that big? I have doubts.
No. I say no.
I mean, unless you're living from the pharmacy. Like, that's pretty much the only way you can get that big. But, so, like, the strongman that they use for the documentary, he's eating, like, 1 to 2, like, real meals a day. So, saying he's plant-based is, I don't know, he's more supplement-based than anything. He does, like, 4 or 5 shakes a day. Like, with a couple, like, fake meals, like a salad type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it is just pea protein, rice protein, because you got to balance out the amino acids, tons of creatine, tons of multivitamins, a bunch of supplements that he would not need to take if he just had some ribeye.
If he had a steak.
You got all your protein, all your amino acids in that ribeye. The creatine, taken care of. Your multivitamin, taken care of. I mean, hey, that's just one food.
That's it. And don't forget the steroids, too.
Yeah. Throw some bone broth in there. Now you got some collagen. You got a lot of glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM for like strong bones and joints. Yeah, you're set just eating some ribeye and like a little bit of bone.
Yeah, you wouldn't need to go to GNC ever.
No, and it's going to taste way better. Or you could just drink a bunch of shakes all day, every day. And who knows what kind of pesticides you're getting with that.
Heavy metals.
Anti-nutrients, all that type of stuff. And like a protein powder, you're just getting protein. You're not getting like digestive enzymes along with it. You're not getting the fatty acids. You're not getting the multivitamins like you would be from a ribeye. So it's just, it's a very poor way to do it. Yeah, can you do it? Sure. But, like, you have to supplement with everything, and your diet shouldn't be supplements.
No.
Like, hey, if your diet's right and you want to get a little bit better, you want to supplement with some creatine because you need a little bit extra, that's okay. But your diet shouldn't be supplements first and real food as a supplement. Like, it makes no sense to be doing that. And not only just to do that, but to promote that as a way to do it.
As optimal.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
That's what this movie's all about, is this this is the optimal diet for athletes. And no, it's not.
Not even close. Yeah.
So I didn't really want to get into the environmental argument too much. So this is just going to be a really dumbed down version, because we've talked about this a few times in the past. And if we really want to dive in, this will be like an hour easy on this topic.
It would be, yeah.
So one of the arguments is, especially with cows are bad for the environment. So with beans.
Oh, that's what they say, by the way.
Yeah, not true.
Not true. That's what I want to make that clear. Yeah.
So dry beans, like 100 grams of dried beans, has about the same amount of protein as 100 grams of beef. Is that true? Kind of. I mean, when you factor in the bioavailability, it's not really that true. And then when you factor in just like all the bad things that go with it, not a very fair statement.
I do want to add though real quick, how you just said 100 grams of dry beans versus 100 grams. When somebody like a plant-based person or this movie says this, they leave out that key word. With dry.
Yeah.
They just say 100 grams of beans and 100 grams of steak. That's a completely different thing. Dry versus wet.
Oh, and those 100 grams of dry beans, like, you have to do a lot to prepare them, or you will die, or get very sick.
Yeah, go ahead and eat those dry beans, see what happens.
I do not do that. I do not recommend that, because you will get very sick and possibly die.
Yeah.
Like, it does not take very many uncooked beans to kill you.
No, we went over that.
Isn't it like 3 kidney beans?
Yeah, it's literally a handful of kidney beans will kill you.
Yeah, like not a lot.
Yeah.
And all right, so 100 grams of dry beans. So after you soak them overnight, you boil them you rinse them off, and then you cook them the next day, a lot to prepare them. That 100 grams of dry beans is going to turn into about 1 pound of cooked beans. That's a shit ton of beans. I don't know if I've had, I know I haven't done 1 pound of cooked beans in the last year. I don't know if I've done 1 pound of cooked beans in the last decade. That's a shit ton of food.
Yeah, just think of like a big-ass breakfast bowl of cereal just full of beans.
Yeah, that's so much.
Yeah, who wants that?
All right, so even if, like, all right, you're getting a shit ton of carbs that you don't really need, and you're getting tons of anti-nutrients. Yeah, those are two both really big negatives that you're getting with the beans that you won't be getting with the protein. Well, let's just move on to the environmental aspect. So, the one thing that vegans claim that cows are bad for the environment is the methane that they produce, because they're burping it up. Cows don't fart a bunch of methane. Most of it's coming from burping.
Well, and that's, again, because they chew all day, every day. They literally regurgitate the grass and chew it again because it's so nutritionally lacking.
Yeah. So, if we replace those cow farms with bean farms, which most of the places we can't do, yeah. But let's just say that we could do it. If we replace beef with beans, I don't know about you, but beans make me really gassy.
Yeah.
So instead of having a ton of, like, gassy cows that are producing very, very nutrient-dense foods and other things that we can get out of that as well, I mean, not to mention how much we rely on leather for tons of different things.
Yeah, so everything.
We're using their skin. Like, we're using every single part of that cow.
We are.
We would just have a shit ton of gassy humans instead of gassy cows. I don't think that would make any impact on methane production at all.
And there's a whole other aspect to this as well that no one ever brings up, which I think is, it's funny to me, because okay, we kill all the cows, right? There's all the cows are gone, you know, we whatever reason they go to vegan heaven, right? Yeah. This grass that they're not eating eventually will die, like it will decay, and you know what happens? It releases methane when it decays. So guess what, folks? No matter what, this shit's going to break down. The microorganisms will break it down and release methane. So why not feed it to the cows and get some killer steak from it, you know?
Yeah, and it's like the food that we feed cows isn't human food. It's
no.
Leftover human food. We don't feed them.
It's way human waste damn near.
Yeah, like we don't feed them corn that we're eating. We feed them the corn stalks. Like, I'm not going to eat the corn stalks.
Yeah.
That's just waste. So we might as well feed it into something that can create a superfood out of it.
Yep, like you like your almond milk every morning, or excuse me, almond juice every morning, because it's not milk, I don't care what anyone says. Those husks, we feed those to cows as well. You're not eating almond husk.
No, never.
Because we can't. You know what I mean? We feed it to cows. So there's so many layers to that argument that, I don't know. It takes a whole podcast to really break it down.
Yeah, so, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, and that's what you would have to do. If we were to realistically try to go vegan, like the plan were to go vegan, we would have to replace all our cow farms and chicken farms with beans, basically. Either soy, kidney, something.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, there's... I don't think that would have any impact at all on greenhouse gases.
Well, I think it'd make it worse. I really would. In the long run, it would 100% make it worse. Because you know what costs... What has, like, a huge greenhouse gas bill? Hospitals. We have a bunch of sick fucking people, and we have a bunch of people in the hospital. You know what I mean?
Well, and we just talked about how much processing you need to do to beans. You don't have to do that much processing for meat.
No, we could eat that shit raw.
Yeah.
If we're gangster enough.
I mean, cooking isn't, like, no, that much of a process. It.
Yeah, it's not at all.
But for beans, oh, yeah, you'd have to do a shit ton more processing, which is going to be... That's where most of the greenhouse gases come from.
Exactly.
It's either from transportation or some other form of industry. And that's going to be a lot more greenhouse gases coming from that.
Yes, it will.
So, yeah, that argument doesn't really make any sense at all.
And this next one we're going to talk about, this is the only one that has maybe like a silver lining, I would say. This one has only some merit.
Yes, yes. This if they
Everything made, else was bullshit.
If they made the entire movie about this, okay, mm-hmm. I can see it.
Because you know a little bit about this.
Yes, but there is a couple like really big caveats. So, there is one sport where there have been some vegans that have done really well in. That would be like ultra running. So Scott Jurek, he has like I don't know how many records he has now. I think most of them have been broken just because like the sport of ultra running has gotten so much more popular. So you got so many more people doing it. But he dominated the sport of ultra running. That's like, you know, the 100-mile races, 50-mile races, that type of thing.
That's like crazy, crazy shit.
Like he was like the GOAT at one time and he's plant-based, 100% plant-based, but he didn't live his life plant-based. He converted to plant waste later on, because if he lived from birth, he would have died as a child.
Yes.
So, like, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
So, even saying, like, yeah, there are some vegans that can dominate, like, the sport of ultra running while they're being vegan, well, they built up all this muscle and all this other stuff off of meat, so it's, I don't know, a little contradictory.
Yeah, it is.
But there's another point to this. So, one of the biggest things, especially with athletics and meat eating, is you need meat for protein synthesis, muscle protein synthesis. Like, it's got all your amino acids, it's got them in the right ratios, it's got the lutein, it's lutein.
Leucine.
Leucine. Mm-hmm. Why did I say lutein?
I don't know, but it sounds right. Yeah. People would have believed you.
Leucine. It didn't sound right when I said it.
Okay.
Leucine. That's what you need. You need at least, it's 3 grams.
3 grams, yeah.
3 grams to activate. That's the minimum that you need to activate muscle protein synthesis. You need a lot of plant protein to get to that 3 grams of leucine.
Yes, you do.
So, if you think of, like, vegans, normally I think of smaller people. I think of skinny. So, hey, guess what? Ultra running, it's beneficial to be really small and skinny. It's beneficial to have small muscles. It's beneficial to have less muscle mass. That's less weight to carry. That's less space for the oxygen to, like, travel across. You want to have those small muscles. That's where you look at ultra runners. They're all real thin.
100%. Yes. Like, my ass is not running 100 miles anytime soon.
No, so, I mean, like, there are some, like, benefits of doing it that way, but again, like, you're not going to be able to build up that muscle mass to keep you in track, like, to do that, and you're also exposing yourself to so many other injuries and stuff like that, and there's been a lot of, like, really top-level athletes that have done that on really shitty diets. The first one that comes to mind is Dwight Howard. About 10 years ago, if you could pick anybody in the NBA... You might have picked Dwight Howard first overall.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Kobe's, like, at the tail end of his prime. LeBron James is coming into his prime. So you got two of, like, the top 10 players of all time, like, in their primes. And you could have made a very realistic argument to take Dwight Howard over both of them.
Yep.
At one point. He was eating 19 candy bars a day. Does that sound like an optimal diet to you?
Crazy.
No.
And if you looked at him visually, he's built like a brick house.
Like, if you were to just, like, look at all the athletes in the NBA, like, who looks like they're the best... I mean, it's Dwight.
It's Dwight.
At least it was at that point. That fool was, like, bigger than anybody, more athletic than anybody.
Jumped through the building.
Yeah, like, perfect body. Yeah, like, 19 candy bars a day.
He was a real freak.
Yeah. So, diet can be kind of hit or miss. When you're talking about these top-level athletes like this, you can get away with a lot.
You can.
You're burning through so many calories. You're burning through so much energy. Like, your body's just looking to use anything for fuel. So, yeah, you can get away with a lot.
But trust me, you're not training like Dwight Howard was.
Yeah.
Very, like, I'm talking the 1% of the 1%.
And honestly, like, I wouldn't hold him up as, like, the guy to go off of because he fell off real quick. He had a very short...
Injuries.
Prime. Yeah, he had a very short prime. I mean, I'm surprised he's still in the NBA now.
He's with the Lakers now.
Yeah, again.
Again. Yeah, seriously. But yeah, so is that all you want to touch on with it?
So we can talk about a couple other athletes that they kind of claim to be vegan, but really aren't. So Nate Diaz is one that they like to promote.
Was he in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So they promote him as being vegan. He's not vegan. So during training camp, he usually is vegan because just like I talked about, it's easy to lose a lot of muscle mass and other things. If you're cutting weight, you're cutting weight. You're cutting everything.
Yeah.
So, hey, being vegan, probably going to help you out a little bit if you're doing it right.
Yeah, you got to hit that number no matter what.
It's going to be low calories. So it's most likely going to be low carbs. So you're going to be burning through a lot of fat. You're going to be losing a bunch of protein as well. Or losing a lot of muscle mass. Hey, it's going to happen. You're cutting weight very, very, like, small window of time. Your camps are, like, 6 weeks long. You're not doing that all throughout the year. And so they're using it when he beat Conor McGregor as, like, the go-to thing. Like, oh, hey, see our vegan athlete beat a meat eater.
Okay.
That's the thing to go to. So, kind of like, let's go back to that fight. Conor McGregor was cutting weight. Nate Diaz wasn't. There was an injury that happened, so that fight wasn't supposed to be happening. It was like a short-term fight. So you have Conor McGregor cutting weight, and then all of a sudden, when he's mid-cut, he has to bulk back up 15 pounds. 15 pounds to a fighter is a shit ton of weight.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big difference. There's weight class for a reason.
Yeah, 100%. So, the big guy usually wins.
Yeah, if you're looking to fight at 155 and you're cutting down for that, you're not trying to maintain the muscle mass that you would at 170. You're not trying to maintain all this other stuff. So, like, cutting down to 155 and then all of a sudden having to bump up to 170, that's a really big issue. Like, hey, I wrestled in high school. I wrestled everything from 130s to 152s my senior year. That's a 22-pound difference. Like, hey, there's a shit ton of a difference between a 130-pounder and a 152-pounder.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big difference there.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about at the peak of the peak, like at the prime, like the best athletes in the world.
Yeah, you're talking high school level, and there's still a big difference.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine what the difference is there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one part. So Nate Diaz is coming off of his off-season diet, which is a lot of fish and a lot of eggs. Both things, not vegan.
At all.
So he... At the time of his fight, most likely was not vegan, and if he was vegan, it was only for a few weeks. Okay. So, not really that convincing of a story after you break it down.
Not at all.
Flash forward, 6 months later, Conor McGregor beat Diaz.
Sure did.
So, what's the point?
Yeah.
So, they went 1-1. Even if you want to say Diaz was vegan, and that's why he won the fight. So, Diaz being vegan is why he lost the second fight. If you're going to use that argument.
Yeah, you have to use it the same way.
Yeah, so, like, that argument makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Oh, just like this entire movie, man. That's why I can't watch it. Like, this shit really makes my skin, like, crawl. I can't do it.
Yeah. There's a couple other, like, athletes that you can kind of, that they claim are vegan but aren't. The Williams sisters, definitely not vegan. Mm-hmm. We talked about Arnold. Arnold was eating 250 grams of protein a day when his prime. That's mostly meat.
Yeah, it was mainly red meat and eggs.
And
steroids.
5 years ago, he was eating... It was like an ostrich egg, like, breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen an ostrich egg before.
Huge.
But yeah, like, it's like a Nerf-sized football.
Yeah.
They're gigantic.
Uh-huh. They really are.
So, like, him being vegan, maybe he's been vegan or vegetarian, like, on Mondays.
Yeah, for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I highly doubt that he's vegetarian. And he definitely wasn't when you think of Arnold.
Yeah, when he was doing his thing, he was not. Yeah. Not even close.
When Arnold was Arnold, he was not.
No,
so,
he was not.
Him being the spokesperson of this video makes no sense.
No, man, it's just corruption. I hate that shit.
Tom Brady is another athlete that a lot of vegans like to claim. He is not. He is on a very low inflammatory diet. So he does weird things like doesn't eat nightshades, which I don't eat very many nightshades.
And no, that's like onions.
Yeah, onions, tomatoes, that type of thing. And when I do eat nightshades, like, I remove the inflammatory parts. Like, that would be, like, the seeds, the skin. Like, that's where all the lectins are from. So, like, yeah, he's avoiding stuff like that. He eats a lot of fish.
He's on pretty much what I would call a whole food diet, pretty much.
Yeah, so he's not even close to being plant-based.
No.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that they mentioned. You know, that's about it. But, I mean, you can point out some athletes that used to be vegan that aren't anymore. Damian Lillard's one. He went vegan for a few months. He hated it, so he went back to it. Tony Gonzalez was vegan for a little bit. He used to just, like, he would use 100-pound dumbbells for reps in the weight room.
You're talking about the tight end, Tony Gonzalez?
Yeah.
For the Chiefs?
Chiefs and then the Falcons.
Got it. Yeah.
So, big guy.
Yeah, he was huge.
100-pound dumbbells to me, that's a lot of weight. To you, not I don't know that much. Much of it.
Yeah.
So, like, to this guy, lightweight.
Yeah,
like, lightweight. So, he's just, you know, throwing that around. He went vegan a couple weeks later. He, like, lifts that weight, and, like, he almost died because, like, he just couldn't lift it. Like, it's just something that he's used to that's just like, oh, hey, I still got two more racks to go. Like, oh, shit, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, who just turned up the gravity in this room type of thing?
Yeah.
There's that.
But there's a million of those stories.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best one right now is Cam Newton.
Like, oh, yeah.
His career might be done.
Yeah.
He broke his foot. He might never recover from that if he doesn't switch his diet due to things like being insufficient in protein, especially collagen, and all the other things that you need to make strong bones that you could easily find in a bone broth, like glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, like all these things. Like, come on.
It's not that complicated.
It's not very difficult.
No. Like, people think our bones are made of just like chalk, but they're half protein. You got to get that in our diet to make strong bones, and he's not getting that in his diet, and he's not healing. And you said his career might be done.
Yeah. I mean, because
he's not old.
He might never recover from that foot injury. Yeah. Like, that's one thing, especially with being on a shitty diet. And even if he does recover from that foot injury, like, he did not look that good this year. I don't know if you watch that much football. I do. I'm a big Sam Newton fan. And, like, watching him this year, I was like, damn, that's sad.
And we talked about, like, Dwight Howard being a freak. He was a freak. When he came into the league, he was, like, he torched the league the first couple of years.
He was, like, bigger than anybody else out there.
And he's a quarterback, if you didn't know.
Yeah. And, like, so, like, the people that are trying to tackle him, he's either the same size as or bigger.
Yeah.
And he's just as fast as the fastest people out there. Just a complete freak of nature.
And now he's a shell of what he used to be. He really is.
It's sad. I mean, I hope he comes back.
Hopefully, no, so do I.
Hopefully he switches it up.
Hopefully he sees, like, his diet is what's really holding him back.
Yeah.
You know? But some people, they dig their heels in, man. They think, like, that's the hill they're going to die on. So if he does, man, good luck.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways you can do a vegan diet, but I would say it's very far from optimal, especially when it comes to athletics.
Yeah.
There's just so many holes to it, so.
And it's funny that this whole movie is based on athletics.
Yeah. I mean, like, the only argument that I can kind of justify for being vegan is what we do with, like, factory farm chickens.
Not very nice.
It's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
So if you have a moral issue against eating meat, I kind of understand that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But that's not what this movie was about. And, okay, so there's some meat that's raised wrong. You know what you do? You buy from the people that are doing it right. You buy your grass-fed beef. You buy your pasture-raised eggs. You buy
your acorn pork.
Yeah, you buy, like, you find the people that are doing it right, and you buy from them. Or you could go vegan, but just so you know, instead of one cow dying for your food for the year, you got tons of birds, tons of squirrels.
Foxes,
whatever else. Insects. I mean, so it's like, are the big animals the only one that you care about morally? Or do the small ones? Do you need, like, 10 rats to die to equal one squirrel? Is this kind of like, where do you draw the line
for
that morality issue?
How are we doing this morality math?
Yeah, so it's like, honestly, like, if the morality one is the only one I can kind of see from a standpoint, but if you, like, sit down and think about it a little bit longer, it's like, it's not really that moral.
Yeah, it's not that moral at all. Oh, man, trust me. All the pillars of the vegan diet are shaky as shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you start poking them, they all crumble. Every single one of them. Like, they don't have any ground to stand on, in my opinion.
The only good news I do have about this is that I forgot the woman's name who's putting it together, but there's going to be a documentary. It's called Sacred Cow. It's coming out next year. Do you know anything about Sacred Cow?
I do.
And Rob Wolf's one of the big people that's in it.
I can't remember her name either. I follow her on Instagram, though.
Yeah, I can't remember her name. She doesn't come up that often, so I'm not like...
No, she's not real big in the community. But, I mean, she's smart as shit, though.
Yeah. So she might not be, like, an influencer, then. She might just be she's a dietitian, I know that.
Yeah, she does has a lot of good posts.
And she's a really big in regenerative farming practices.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Damn, that was a hard word.
Yeah, it is.
So that's going to be coming out next year. That's going to be about how we really should be producing our food to make it sustainable. Because those factory farming, that's not sustainable. The monocropping, definitely not sustainable. So, like, pretty much the two main ways that we're getting our food right now are not sustainable. And that is a real issue. So, like, Game Changers making that, like, known is a good thing. But where we disagree and disagree strongly is the solution to that problem.
Yep.
So.
And I wanted to finish with this quote. And I've said it before, and I'll say it a million times. But It's a reliable way to make people believe in falsehoods is frequent repetition, because familiarity is not easily distinguished from truth. And what that means is everyone hears this shit about, oh, plants being healthy, Nate Diaz being a vegan. They hear it so much, it becomes familiar, and then it's really hard to distinguish familiar from true. So people just make that connection, even though that shit was never true. So what this movie is really doing is just fucking spewing this bad information so much, so often, everywhere. Netflix is huge. Millions of people have watched this movie that they're just going to think this information is true because it's familiar. And by the way, this is how the Nazis made people hate Jews. You know what I'm saying? They just repeated this trash over and over and over, and then people believe them. And then guess what happened? The Holocaust. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is just, it's a very common propaganda-like technique. I think that was pretty good. We didn't want to talk about that long, actually.
No, and, like, there's a lot of stuff from my notes that I, like, cut out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we said, that there's two really good rebuttals. If you want the keto carnivore point of view, the Saladino one is a really good one. Or if you want a more, like, omnivore point of view, like a, I don't know if I'd really call it layman's, because Chris Kresser breaks down a shit ton of science. But then you have Joe Rogan dumbing it down for the everyday man. So yeah, it's a pretty good one, too. That one's 3 hours, so you might want to break that one down to a couple days.
Yeah, I'm going to actually post Chris Kresser's show notes on our website. So just go to TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com, and I'll have that all on there on the show notes for this episode. So, yeah, I mean, fair warning, it's a long-ass post. So, but if you really want to get down to the science and you really want to put in the work, you know, you don't want to be spoon-fed this information. Like, you really want to get down and figure it out for yourself. That's going to be a good resource to check it all out. Well, all right. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Feel free to reach out anytime. And we're also on all the major podcast providers. So iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Stitcher, SoundCloud. So listen anywhere you can. Like and share the episode if possible. Send it to your friends if they're thinking on going vegan, if they think plant-based is super healthy. Let them get informed a little bit more, and maybe they'll make a more educated decision. Hope everyone has a happy and healthy week.